Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to give you some thoughts. Here's what the Bible said. If you're in Matthew chapter number 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 5. You can remain seated tonight. The Bible said this in verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And boy, that's true tonight, amen. Whenever we pray, we ought not just pray when others see us. Prayer is something that we do privately, amen. It goes on to say in verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask them. Verse number 9 says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, how will it be thy name? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For this is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me just say this about verse 13. The Bible said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I want to ask you this, and I'm not going to deal with this tonight. Let me just mention it in passing. Each morning when you start your day, number one, I hope you start it in prayer. Hope you started talking to the Lord. Amen. But I want to ask you this. When you start your day in prayer, do you pray this? Lord, deliver me from temptation today. Lord, lead me not in. Lord, help me not to even go where that great temptation would be. And even if you do find yourself at that temptation, you know what the Bible says? That with every temptation, that He makes a way of escape. Every one of them, He makes a way of escape. Now, look with me. Go with me to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Look with me in verse number 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now, I'm interested in what he said right there in verse number 2. O thou that hearest prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know somebody that hears prayer. I know somebody that hears prayer. And I want to say this to you tonight. I'm glad that I know somebody that answers prayer. And I know somebody that hears prayer. You say, how do you know he hears prayer? Well, look around. You know what you are tonight? You're an answer to prayer. You're here tonight because somebody prayed for you, amen? Somebody, the reason you're saved tonight, yes, it's because of the blood of Calvary, but it's because somebody prayed for you. And I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer tonight. The Bible testifies that God answers prayer. We read in 1 Samuel 23:4 that David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him. The Bible says in Psalms 99:6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Psalms 118 verse number 5 says this, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me. Amen. I'm glad that we serve a God that answers prayer. Now, he doesn't just hear prayer. He answers prayer. You know, it's one thing to hear somebody. Are you with me? My wife thinks that I hear her a lot and don't answer her. And matter of fact, I reminded her today, honey, there's a piece of paper around here somewhere where I went to the audiologist. I've got the paperwork that says that I don't hear good. And she said, well, they sell stuff down there at Sam's that makes you hear better. And I said, well, you've been telling me that for a year. Go ahead and make the phone call as long as I can get my money back if they don't work. But I'm glad that God just doesn't hear our prayers. God answers our prayers. It's one thing to hear something. Matter of fact, have you ever heard your phone ringing, but you didn't answer it? Are you with me? I like the phone now because you can put it on Do Not Disturb, and you don't even hear it ringing, amen? But I want to say something. Boy, we hear it, but we don't answer. I'm glad that we've got a God that don't just hear, He answers, amen? You said, preach, how do you know He answers? Well, I know He answers because I've seen Him answer prayers, but I also know He answers because His Word says that He answers prayer. In our text in Psalm 65:2, we are told that God hears our prayers with the implication that He answers our prayers. Matter of fact, in verse number 1 of Psalm 65, the subject is praise. But in verse number 2, the subject is prayer. The reason the psalmist praises God in verse number 1 is that in verse number 2, he declares that God hears and answers prayers. Amen. Boy, isn't that good. The question that I want us to consider tonight is this. How does God answer prayer? How does God answer prayer? And I know a lot of times we can say, well, He answers one of three ways. He says yes, no, or way. I want to dig a little bit deeper into that and deal with it a little bit tonight. How does God answer our prayer? I want to give you four ways. Number one, I would say this. There is a direct answer. There is a direct answer. By direct answer, I mean a prayer answered specifically and speedily. You pray about something and God answers shortly after. Elijah on Mount Carmel is a great example of a direct answer to prayer. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 37 and 38, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that is the people, or that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart again, back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Elijah received a direct answer from God at that moment. There is direct answers. Well, let me say this about that. They're directed by the will of God. His direct answers are directed by the will of God. It is important for us to understand that answered prayer is never our getting our will done in heaven, but it is God getting His will done on earth. It's not necessarily because we wanted it. It's a direct answer because it's directed by the will of God. Notice what He said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, verse 15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. God answers prayer in accordance to His will. In accordance to His will. God's will and my will is not always the same. Are you hearing me on that? And I'll say more about that in a little bit. So it's directed by the will of God. Not only is this direct answer directed by the will of God, I would say this, it's demanded by the need of man. It is demanded by the need of man. Think about this. Sometimes our needs require a speedy answer. Sometimes our needs require a speedy answer. Take for an example, the night that Peter walked on the water. And as he was walking on the water, he began to sink. And what did the Bible say? Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Well, you know what Peter needed right then? He needed a direct answer, and it demanded a direct answer by him right then. There's times that God gives us a direct answer, and it's demanded by the need of man. I thought about this. Peter did not pray some long, drawn-out prayer such as this. One writer said this: O thou great Jehovah, covenant-keeping God of the ages, who created the world, flung the stars out into the heavens from the tips of his finger, heaped up the mountains with his hand, and on and on. No, here's what he said: Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And you know what God done? Because of a direct need of man, God answered that prayer directly. There's a direct answer that's directed by the will of God and demanded by the need of men. Direct answers are often the results of the needs that we have in our lives. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 4. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, what? In time of need. In time of need. Boy, I sure am glad that there's some times that when I'm in a very a tough situation in a time of need, I'm glad that there is a God that has a direct answer to my prayer. Not long ago, I was at a place and all I could do was cry, Lord, help. And can I just say this? I'm glad that it wasn't a prolonged answer, but I'm glad that God slid right up beside me during that time. There's a direct answer. Not only does he answer with a direct answer sometimes, but number two, here's another way he answers, a delayed answer. A delayed answer. It's not always a direct answer. Sometimes it is a delayed answer. There are times when God doesn't answer our prayers immediately. There are times when his answers are delayed. We could say it this way. God simply says, you need to wait a while. You need to wait a while. Now, can I just say this to you? I'd rather for God to say yes or no than to say this. My wife and my girls, and if you know me very well, you'll agree with this. I just don't have a lot of patience. I like it done right then. I like it done yesterday. If we need to get something done, man, let's get to going. I'll never forget when me and Brother Lloyd walked into the metal company that put this building up, and we laid down the plan of how we wanted to build the building and how fast we was going to build it. And they looked at us and said, it'll never be done. And Brother Lloyd just kind of looked at him and said, just hide and watch. And you know what happened? 6 months later, we moved into the building. That's the way I like to roll with it, amen? You should preach what he said. And sometimes God says you just need to wait. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes. I'm just going to say wait. In John chapter 11, they came to Jesus and told him that his dear friend Lazarus was deathly ill. We read in John 11:6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You know what he was saying? Well, just wait a while. Just wait a while. That's what he was saying. Instead of jumping up, running out the door to get Lazarus as quickly as possible, he delayed his departure for 2 days. There was a delay on Jesus' part in responding to their request. You ever thought about this? Why does God delay answers sometimes? I'm going to give you a couple things to think about. He wants us to be persistent. He wants us to be. What if he gave us everything that we asked for as soon as we ask him? You know what? We wouldn't have much of a prayer life, would we? We wouldn't have much of a prayer life, would we? What did the Bible say in Matthew chapter number 7? He said this in verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The tense of the verse is that I am to keep asking. I am to keep seeking. And I am to keep knocking. In other words, it's persistency in our prayer. And the story of the widow who kept coming back to the judge in Luke chapter number 18. I read through this again this week and I found it interesting. In that story, the great lesson is that God desires importunity in prayer. Jesus said in response to the widow's importunity, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In everyday language, we often think of avenge as take revenge or get even. But in biblical context, it carries a slightly different shade of content or a slightly different shade of meaning. It means this: to bring justice, to defend, or to act on behalf of someone who is wrong. In Luke chapter number 18, Jesus tells the parable about a persistent widow and an unjust judge. The widow keeps asking for justice, and the judge eventually gives in, not because he cares, but because of her persistence. Then Jesus says, if an unjust judge can be moved to act, how much more will God, who is perfectly just and loving, defend and bring justice to his people? What is he saying? He's simply saying this: be persistent in your praying. Just keep praying. Jesus was saying that God wants us to keep praying when God bears long in answering our prayer. The parable begins with the command in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1, that men ought always to pray. You know what he's saying? He's saying this: be persistent. I read this illustration. It says George Mueller, which in my personal opinion is one of the greatest examples of prayer that I've ever read after. George Mueller, the story is told about him beginning to pray for a group of five personal friends. After 5 years, one of them come to Christ. In 10 years, two more of them were saved. He continued to pray for the others for 25 years, and the fourth man was saved 25 years later. For the fifth, he prayed until the time he died. And this friend, too, came to Christ a few months afterwards. For this later friend, Mr. Mueller had prayed for almost 52 years that he would get saved. Can I just say something about his prayer life? It was persistent. It was persistent. He just kept praying. He just kept praying. Brother Tim, was it 17 years that you prayed for your sister? 24 years. I had that wrong. 24 years he prayed for his sister before she got saved. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this to you tonight. He wants us to be persistent. And sometimes his prayers or his answers are delayed to show us that we need to be persistent. He wants us to be persistent. But now watch this. He wants us to be patient. Someone has written, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in women, but never found in men. See, some of y'all just got mad. Y'all need to go back and listen to forgiveness on Sunday night. Seldom found in women, but never found in men. The truth is, patience is a virtue often missing in all of our lives. The Bible has much to say about waiting on God. The Bible says in Psalms 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30 said this, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait on him. There's a direct answer. There's a delayed answer. Watch this, number three. There's not only a direct answer and a delayed answer. I would say this. Number three, there's a different answer. It's just practical things about prayer tonight. A different answer. Romans said this in chapter number 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look at the statement, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The simple truth of the matter is this: we don't always know what is best for us, and thus we don't always know how to pray. Sometimes we just don't know how to pray. And you know what? There is a different answer that comes sometimes because we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. And there's times when we don't know how to pray and we think the answer should be something else, but the Spirit prays for us. And when the Spirit prays for us, he prays for the will of God. And sometimes those answers are different answers than really what we thought they should be. You ever prayed for something and God answered it, but it sure didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen? There's different answers sometimes. I thought about this. Why? Or what are those different answers? You can always be sure about this, though, when it comes to those answers. I would say this to you. Those different answers are for our good. They're for our good. Again, what did he say? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Those different answers are for our good. Sometimes we don't understand it, but God's doing us a favor. God's doing us a favor. I prayed some things a while back, and in praying those things, I prayed, now, Lord, here's my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that God knows the intent of our heart anyway. We might as well tell him what we'd like. He knows it whether we say it or not. But I said, Lord, your will be done. You know what? Whenever it came to pass, it sure was a different answer than what I thought it should be. And for a little while, Brother Stan, I thought in the backside of my mind, I just don't understand this. But I'm going to tell you something. In just recent days, boy, I've saw the hand of God in that. And you know what it was? It was for my good, even though I didn't see it back then. There's sometimes God will do things in your life. And there'll be a different answer to prayers that you're praying, and you may not understand why. But as you get a little bit further down the road and you look back on it, you go, thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. It's for our good. God knows what is best for us. We may pray for blessings, but God knows that burdens will have a greater value in our lives. Can I say that again? We may pray for blessings, but God knows that burdens will have a greater value in our lives. Through struggles and burdens, we learn to lean on Him and trust Him more. He knows exactly what we need. And when there are different answers, they're for our good. But can I say this? They're for His glory. They're for His glory. You remember what I preached the other Sunday morning? God only doeth wondrous works. God can't do a bad thing. The work, anything that God does is wonderful. We may not understand it. And can I just say this? He don't have to explain himself to me. He don't know that to me. I'm nobody. He don't have to explain himself to me. What we must understand is that when there are different answers, for some reason we may not understand it. It's for our good, but I promise you it's also for His glory. There will never be an answer to prayer that will not bring glory to God. God will never answer our prayers if we do not allow the answer to glorify God. We can pray for that raise at work, but if God knows that we'll not tithe off of it, well, He's probably not going to answer that prayer request. We may pray for that promotion, but if we're not going to use it to glorify God and it pull us further away from Him and out of church, He may know that we don't need that. So His answer, I'm preaching good, His answer may be different, but it's for our good and His glory. And I'm going to tell you something. You can, and I don't even want to use the word manipulate right here, but you can think God has given you one answer and you can go completely against His will. And what you'll find out down the road is that you're in a bigger mess than you're in then than you was when you begun. Just because a door opens up. Matter of fact, this week I was talking about David Williams about some things, and he said this. He said, just because a door opens don't mean God opened it. Are you with me? Just because the door opens don't mean God opened it. Not every open door is of God. Matter of fact, it might be a temptation and God's trying to get you a way of escape, but you're looking only at that moment. I'll just say this to you. I go to the car dealership tomorrow and buy any vehicle I want, Brother Lloyd. I got good credit. I can go apply, Brother Matt, There ain't doubt in my mind I'd get the loan. Does that mean it's God's will? Absolutely not. Did somebody say yeah? Absolutely not. There is a lot of people that's got themselves in a bad shape because they didn't listen to God because His answer was different than what they wanted. And Satan opened the door and not God. And because it was what they wanted, they was walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. If they'd have been walking in the Spirit, they'd have not fulfilled the lust of the flesh. They would have heard the voice of God and listened and heeded to the different answer that He was given. Even though they may not have liked it, it was truly for their good and His glory in the long run. Number one, there's a direct answer. Number two, there's a different answer. Number three, there's a different answer. A delayed answer. Number three, there's a different answer. Number four, I'll give you this and we'll go home. Sometimes there's a denied answer. Sometimes He just denies it. There's a denied answer. There's a denied answer. Sometimes God just says no. Sometimes He just says no. You might argue that no isn't really an answer. Well, let me ask you this question. When you tell your children no, is that a definite answer? Your five-year-old asks if he can play with your gun. What is your answer? It's no. Now, is that not an answer? Sure it is. And sometimes God says no, and the best thing we can do is say yes, sir. There's a lot of people that's got in a lot of trouble, a lot of Christians, good Christians, that's got in a lot of trouble because they didn't like no. The denied answer, no. No. I don't always understand no. But can I say this? I'm also thankful for no. I'm also thankful for no. Let me give you an illustration. Now think about Elijah. He crawled up under a juniper tree and asked to die. I've always thought that if he really wanted to die, he shouldn't have run away from Jezebel. He really wanted to die. All he had to do was throw Jezebel and she took care of it. Are you hear me? He really didn't want to die. He's just having a pity party. That's all he was doing. But you know what? He talked about that. What if God would have said yes right then? You ever thought about what if God would have said yes? I guarantee you later on in life, Elijah was grateful that God said no. There's Jonah. He prayed to die. God said no. I have no doubt that later Jonah said, thank you, God, for saying no. There's Paul. He prayed that God would remove his thorn in the flesh, and God's answer was no. God says no, that's an answer. That's an answer. No. I'm thankful for no's. You've heard me tell the story. Some of you have, but I'll never forget. We was in Panama City, Florida. And Leslie and I, and Madeline was, I don't know, just a month or two old. It's when we was at Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. And we went to bed that night. I got up the next morning. We had a little fifth-wheel camper that we was traveling in then. We got up the next morning. And, Brother Tim, about 5 o'clock that morning, I woke up, and something wasn't right. And I thought, what's wrong with me? And I stumbled through there, and I was about half sick on my stomach, and I ended up walking in there and sitting down in the recliner in that little camper, and I told Leslie, I said, something that ain't right. And she said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I think I'm going to die. And she said, well, honey, you ain't going to die. I said, well, I really think I'm going to. Man, I started hurting in my back. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. As a matter of fact, it got so bad, I looked at her and I said, honey, if you'll go back up there in the bedroom and on the side that I sleep on and you'll pull the drawer open, there's a .44 in that drawer. Pull it open and bring it down here and put me out of my misery. I'm going to die. I can't take this. Brother Rick Hildebrand walked out. I'll never forget Brother Rick Hildebrand walked in. She called him. He came over there where we staying at. He walked in and he laid back and laughed that laugh that he laughed. I said, dude, I'm dying. He said, you ain't dying. You got a kidney stone. I said, no, I'm dying. And I started praying, oh, God, just let me die. And I'm serious. And you know what? Some of y'all going, I wish he'd answered that prayer, but I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he said, no, son, not right now. If you've ever had a kidney stone, you probably will agree with what I just said. You've prayed yourself, God, just let me die. God, just let me die. Aren't you glad that he said no? The denied answers. I thought about this. If God says no, there's a reason why. I would say this to you. Sometimes he says no for our protection. God says no to protect us from selfish and foolish prayers. God said no to keep Elijah and Jonah safe. He says no because he knows what is best for us. And sometimes no is to protect us. Our protection, what about this, our direction? We may desire one thing, but God wants another. So instead of answering our prayer, he says no, so his will be done in our lives. He may close one door because he has another door that he wants to open at a later date that's going to be such a better and a bigger and a greater opportunity for you. Our protection, our direction. But sometimes he says no. Miss Tanya, come start playing if you will. And don't say no. Sometimes he says no, not only for our protection and our direction, but sometimes he says no, listen to this, for our correction. For our correction. The Bible says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God's no may be to focus us to search our hearts and our lives for any sin that may be unconfessed in us. The reason he may not be answering it, or he might be saying no, is because there's unconfessed sin in your life. It's because your relationship with him is not right. You see, there is a denied answer, and sometimes it's for our protection, our direction, or our correction. Does God answer prayer? Well, absolutely he does. There's a direct answer. There's a delayed answer. There's a different answer, but sometimes there's a denied answer. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. In closing, I want to ask you this. What are you asking God for right now? Now, if you had to think about that very long, you're not asking him for much. You're not asking him for much. So let me ask you, what are you asking God for? What are you believing God for right now? How big of a thing are you believing God for? I mean, how much do we really believe him? How much do we really trust him? What's that big prayer request in your life right now? You believe God can do it? I ask you another question. How much not only have you prayed about it, but how much have you fasted and prayed about it? Because really, fasting and praying goes hand in hand together. In fact, he said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. It comes by fasting and praying. How's our prayer life tonight? How much have you talked to the Lord today? How much time have you spent with the Lord today? You know, it'd be a shame to have spent more time on a device today than we have with our Heavenly Father. It'd be a shame that we spent more time listening to a podcast than we did talking to our Heavenly Father. And I'm all for it. I started another great one today, or it's a series, and Brother Jonathan, you probably listened to Brother Broyhill's on A Fruitful Church and a Dying Church, and I started that series today on that. It's got some great stuff in it, a church that's alive. There's nothing wrong with that. How much time we spend praying with the Lord? You know what Brother Milton Taylor said? in our day, besides my dad, he's the most praying man I know of. Brother Milton Taylor is a man of prayer. Brother Milton Taylor travels a lot. He preaches all over the country. And he told me, he said, some of the greatest praying times that I have is looking through the windshield. Looking through the windshield. Now, I understand the Bible says that to go into our closet, and I think you're to have that specific place that you go pray at. I think that's important. I think you're to have that place that you go to If you never watched the movie War Room, no, I don't agree with everything in it, but I don't agree with myself all the time. It's got some great things in it. And writing those prayer requests down and checking them off and looking back at what God has done. You need to, I won't give an altar call, but you need to have a prayer list. You need to pray through that prayer list every day. You say, why do I need to have a prayer list? Because you forget. You say, preacher, I got a photographic memory. Start praying. You'll have a satanic memory. You'll not remember nothing. I'm serious. Let me ask you this. How long can you pray at a time? If it's not over 5 or 6 minutes, you're not praying off of a prayer list. Because I'm going to tell you something. I have to write things down because I can't. One thing I can remember is I got that piece of paper that says I can't hear. But other than that, but Ted, I can't remember nothing. So I have to write things down. So as I pray, I know what I'm praying. But then watch this. As I see God answer it, I can check it off or highlight it. And then as I pray the next day, I can say, now, Lord, thank you for answering this. Will you do the same thing for this? How's our prayer life tonight? You want to see God do something in your family? Pray. You want to see God do something in your Sunday school class? Pray. You want to see God send revival to the church? Pray. Pray. How's our prayer life?